I'm sure you've noticed, but recently, over the last 6 months, a year, whatever, there's been quite a lot of change. Change in our earthly kingdoms in particular. We've, not that long ago, lost our beloved Queen after so many years of faithful service. And we now have a King who serves us equally faithfully. In a different way, of course, because he's his own man and absolutely right. But it's different, isn't it? And within the army world, everything changes. And it's all of our badges and emblems and stuff are changing because we're moving from a queen's crown to a king's crown. And that sounds a small point, I know, but it just signifies that everything changes. And then, continuing in our own country, we've just recently had general elections and the government changed. And in America, we've just had elections and the government changed. You get the gist here. You see where we're going with this. There's a lot of change. And I'm not making, because it's not my place. Not from this pulpit anyway. I'm not making political points. I just wish you to realize that earthly kingdoms come and earthly kingdoms go. Things change in this world. Ever has it been such? Ever will it be such? Until the Lord Jesus comes again and firmly and completely establishes his kingdom across the whole world, all nations. For his kingdom is in place. But we live in what the theologians call the now and the not yet. You've heard that before? The now and the not yet. Sounds so deep. It just means we've got some of it and there's more to come. The now and the not yet. But that's where we live. We live in the reality that Jesus died for us. That his kingdom is present in us. But it's not yet fully established. And actually, when we think about kingdoms, most, if not all of us, and most, if not all people, are guilty of making themselves king or queen of their own monarchy. And this isn't new, it's not me having a go, because I do it as well, please hear me on that. This is not new. This is what Adam and Eve did at the fall. They chose to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of the tree of knowledge. They decided that they wanted to be in charge. There's only one person capable of truly being King of Kings and Lord of Lords and making good and just and honourable and righteous and perfect decisions every time. And that is God himself. We might like to think that we can, but my friends, have a look at the world that we live in and the world that we've just prayed for and the mess that we've managed to create even of our own lives in places. And if we're honest with ourselves, and I pray that we would be, it's just us here, it's fine. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we need a saviour because we mess it up. We need God who is perfect in all of his ways. The gospel reading that we heard, Pilate asked Jesus if he's a king. Now, of course, we know the answer. This is wonderful looking back. History's a great thing, isn't it? We look back and go, of course he's a king, Pilate. Come on, couldn't you get your head around this? But Pilate says, are you a king? And Jesus says, yes, because he is, but not of an earthly kingdom. At this point, Pilate's brain must be scrambling like there's no tomorrow. What on earth does this mean? You know, he starts coming out with A-level philosophy questions, what is truth and all sorts of stuff going on in there. Because he sees that this man is different, but he's under political pressure, and the pressure to do what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that lot want. And he doesn't know. See, Jesus did come to be king, but not in the way that the people of the time expected. They expected, as you know, a military leader, a leader in the line of King David, a leader who would overthrow the Roman Empire, who would lead Israel back into this great, glorious heyday of when David was king, and they were the most powerful nation in and around that area. That's what they thought the Messiah was going to bring them. Jesus put the light of this very starkly and very powerfully on Palm Sunday, didn't he? You've all heard the Palm Sunday sermon. He comes in riding on a colt. See, if he was Messiah as they expected, he'd have come riding in on a war horse. Big white charger. But now he comes in riding on a colt, meek and humble, because his kingdom is a different kingdom, an upside down kingdom, a kingdom where forgiveness is strength and grace is beauty. His kingdom is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God lasts forever. It has always been, it is now, and it always will be. God's kingdom is without beginning and without end. And here's the surprise for us. You ready for this? It is advancing and growing each day. We can get disheartened, despondent, many other dis words as well, I suspect, when we look around and we think, I remember the days when our chapel was full. Regularly on a Sunday morning we would have 100, 200 people in chapel. Am I right? And we look around today and we think, don't see it. What's God doing? What's happening? Is the kingdom not the kingdom? The kingdom is definitely the kingdom. There are more Christians today on the earth than there have ever been. In various parts of the world, we read in the book of Acts how the church added daily to their number. In many parts of the world today, in Africa and Asia, that is what is happening. Daily, the church is growing, having numbers added to it. And there's all sorts of questions that I think we probably need to ask ourselves about what's happening there and what isn't happening here, but that's not this sermon. This sermon is about the fact that God's kingdom is always advancing, that his kingdom is unshakable, and he is the ultimate king. See, all people are ultimately subject to him, even and perhaps especially when they don't know it. My friends, he will judge all. When Jesus came, he came as a saviour. When he comes back, he will come as judge. But he will be the righteous judge. And we see that in the Daniel reading that we heard first. Daniel's a hard book. Some of it's really nice, you know. We like the lion's den story, and we quite like the Nebuchadnezzar and the being put in the fiery furnace and all that. Those are great stories, and we can tell those at Sunday school. But some of it's really confusing, you know. Wheels within wheels, and yeah. But it's about God's kingdom. It's about the fact that his kingdom is forever, and that he is the judge, and he made everything. He knows everything. And he knows, and depending on where you sit this morning, he knows everyone.
So therefore he knows everything about you that you've ever done, ever will do, and he still loves you.
That ought to be quite encouraging. Because I know me, not as well as God does, and I know I can be pretty unlovable sometimes. But God still loves me. And I guess, God, you're much more holy than I am, I understand that, so you're probably nothing like as bad. Although one person did admit to me this morning that they were wicked. So that was encouraging. I felt in good company. We are all wicked. More of that in a minute. We've heard this morning that God's kingdom is everlasting. And that begs the question then, how do we enter this kingdom? I've just said that we're wicked, we're broken. We are all guilty. We all fall short in our own strength. Romans 3:23, really well-known verse and powerful verse, says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Therefore, how do we get into the kingdom? If Romans stopped there at the end of 3:23, there wouldn't be a lot of hope. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fortunately, verse 24 happens. Yet God. Really important phrase. Yet God. In his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. We deserve death. Sorry, I know it's Sunday. We deserve punishment. We get grace and mercy. This is an upside down kingdom if ever I heard one. This is the God that we follow, that we serve. God is a loving and just king. We will all be judged, but the price is paid for us if we put our faith, our trust, our lives in Jesus. How did Jesus pay the price for us? How? Our reading in Revelation reminds us of this. It said, "All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us." That's how we're set free. Because he paid the price for us. He held nothing back. He went to the cross at Calvary. He died the most excruciating death that we can imagine. And he shed his blood for us. Don't believe any of the claptrap that says, he wasn't really dead and all the rest of it. My friends, the Romans were experts at killing people. If the Romans said he was dead, trust me. But if we are in Jesus, then we are part of a new kingdom. And the reading in Revelation continues with this. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. He has made us, not me, us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. So what does that mean? It means that we stand in a gap for our friends and our families, our neighbours, our work colleagues, etc., who don't know Jesus. We come and we pray for them. We pray for them to enter the kingdom. We witness to them of the kingdom. You see, it's usually pretty easy to spot a priest, isn't it? We wear funny clothes. We stand out from the crowd. Even at work, where I wear the green pyjamas, the same as everybody else wears the green pyjamas, I've got a name tag. Nobody else has got a name tag. And I've got collar dogs with a cross on them. And everybody goes, "Morning, Padre!"
They have no idea what my name is, but they know I'm the Padre. They automatically know who the Padre is. And you go out in the street and you see a vicar or a priest or whatever, you know who he is, or she is, because the dog collar's on or the strange garment's on. My friends, this is our call. Not my call, our call to stand up for and stand out for Jesus. People should know us by our fruit, should know that we are different because we are in the kingdom of God. And pray God, they would say, I want what they've got. Because they live life differently. They live life more fully than I do. That's the challenge of being in the kingdom. Entry into the kingdom is free. Discipleship, following Jesus, costs us everything. My friends, my prayer is that we would be all worthy of the kingdom. Not because we're good enough, we can't be that. But rather because we have been made priests and are being priests of the kingdom. And we're showing Jesus to those around us, no matter how imperfectly that may be. So this morning, are you, am I, ready for that challenge to share your lives and to share Jesus? That's who we've been called and created to be. Remember, my friends, what was written in the Revelation reading? Jesus is the one who is, the one who always was, and the one who is still to come. He will come back as judge. So are you in the kingdom? Have you put your faith in Jesus and his grace, which is, after all, the only way to enter the kingdom? He said, Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the kingdom, no one comes to the Father, except through me. And some people say, well, that's a bit non-inclusive, isn't it? One way, Jesus? And I would say, no, it's the most inclusive way, because the invitation is for everyone. But no one comes into the kingdom except through Jesus. So my friends, this morning, will you enter the kingdom? And will you lead others into that same kingdom? Amen.